Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. This is the word of the Lord. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot. And he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter. Like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe this generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I asked you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop. They both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch. He baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. This is the word of the Lord. The story of the Ethiopian eunuch is a story in contrast. It is in contrast with the story that precedes it, the story of Philip, Simon, the magician. There are similarities between the two stories. Both include Philip preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. Both include one who hears that gospel and is baptized. And Christ and Dove, we are left to wonder what becomes of the one who is baptized. There is a very significant difference between the two. The first ends with Simon in the fear of judgment. And the second ends with the eunuch and the joy of salvation. Why does the one end in fear and the other in joy? For both believed and both were baptized. Now, we were told of Simon that though he had believed and been baptized, the intent of his heart was wicked, that he was in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. As we said before, confronted here, terrifying reality, that one may be baptized, that one may believe the gospel, and yet still his heart not be right before God. And so we find that belief by itself cannot save you. Faith on its own will not save you. We might find that unsettling. But in this, there's no difference from saying that baptism by itself cannot save you. Or that the water of baptism on its own will save you. What was it that compelled Simon to believe and be baptized? And this also, we find a contrast between the two stories. For what compelled Simon is not what compelled the Ethiopian eunuch. What amazes Simon is not what amazes the eunuch. What amazed Simon is the power of Christ. What amazed the eunuch was the sufferings of Christ. Simon thought himself to be somebody great. He was even called by the people the power of God. But now he saw signs and wonders greater and his own magic. We may understand that he was drawn to Christ for the power that he might gain from him. For when he discovered that this power was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money that he might possess this power also. He might continue to call himself somebody great, that he might be known as the power of Christ. His heart was not right before God. And why was it not right? His heart was not right before God. But he sought Christ as a means to an end. An end that was not Christ himself. He entered the church through baptism, not to gain Christ, but to gain his power. Given the church. The church does not exist to grant us our desires. The church exists to transform our desires. And our desires formed to the desires of Christ. That our minds may be conformed to his mind, our wills to his will, our hearts to his heart, our lives to his life. This is what we are told of the one who seeks power from Christ. His heart is not right before God. But what then are we to seek? We find it in the story of Philip, the Ethiopian eunuch. Now, like Simon, the Ethiopian eunuch was no stranger to power, though in his case it was not the power of magic, but the power of government. He held a position of power, being in charge of all the treasure of the queen of Ethiopia. He had come to Jerusalem to worship. And on his way home, he was reading from the scroll of Isaiah the prophet. What was it that he was reading? Isaiah chapter 53, verses 7 and 8. Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. This is the eunuch's introduction to Christ. He does not behold signs and wonders, but a work of even greater power, the suffering unto death. When he asked Philip about whom the prophet speaks, Philip opens his mouth and makes known to him the Christ. He proclaims to him the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when the eunuch then sees water, he says, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" But what happens next does not exactly fit what we might expect. And this is not unique to us, for even some manuscripts add what we might expect Philip to have then said. If you believe with all your heart, you may. And other manuscripts then add what we might expect as the eunuch's reply, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And though this is the good and true confession, that is not what is written. To the eunuch's question, what prevents me from being baptized? We find that the answer is nothing. And so he commands the chariot to stop. And they go down into the water. And the eunuch is baptized by Philip. Now the uniqueness of this response to the gospel. What prevents me from being baptized? It commands our attention. And as we ponder this response, and as we ponder the eunuch's baptism, we remember something that was said at the beginning of the story. Verse 26. This place is a desert place. While that might not seem significant, it should remind us of another baptism. We think back to the beginning of Luke's gospel. We will remember that it does not begin with the ministry of Christ, but with the ministry of John. How is that ministry described? Luke chapter 3, verse 4. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. And the people went out to John in the wilderness. For what purpose? To be baptized by him. And the ministry of Jesus, how does it begin? It begins with his being baptized by John in the wilderness. And so this baptism of the Ethiopian eunuch, it should remind us of the baptism of Christ. And as we are reminded of the baptism of Christ, we may see this being emphasized in the eunuch's response to the gospel. Why he responds in the way that he does. What prevents me from being baptized? What are we to understand by his response to the gospel? We should find in that response this desire to be united to Christ. To hear in his response the desire to be joined to Christ. The desire to be conformed to Christ. He said that faith on its own will not save you. For it is not faith that saves you. It's Christ By this, we may better understand the character of that faith that belongs to those whom he saves. It is not ultimately belief in a proposition. It is rather allegiance to a person. By it, we bind ourselves to him and are not willing to be known apart from him. And this is what we see in baptism. For in baptism, Christ's name is placed upon us. Christ pledges himself to us. It seeks nothing from Christ, but Christ himself. Here we find the truth of the eunuch's faith in contrast to the falsehood of Simon's. The eunuch does not seek riches or power from Christ, but only to be united to him, to become one with him, to know him, and to be known by him. For the Christ made known to him was not a Christ of signs and wonders, but of humiliation and suffering. Yeah. His life was taken away from the earth. And seeking baptism, the eunuch was binding himself to this one who in this life suffered the loss of all things. This is what must be true of all who would be baptized into Christ. We cannot be united to him if we are unwilling to be united to his sufferings and death. But we cannot be united to part of them. We must be united to the whole of him or to none of him. See what is gained by the one who suffers the loss of all things. Joy. The eunuch, having been baptized, went on his way rejoicing. But what has he gained? Christ himself. Nothing more and nothing less. But the one who wants more than Christ, what does he gain? We see it in Simon. He gains bitterness. But the one who wants more than Christ does not seek too much, but too little. For in the end, there is nothing more than Christ. And the one who possesses him will find that he is more than everything. And though he suffered the loss of all things, yet still he may go his way rejoicing. For his joy in this Christ. And nothing, not even death, can separate us from his love. The Ethiopian eunuch is introduction to Christ. That's Isaiah chapter 53. Have you read a little further? What would he have found? Isaiah chapter 56. Let not the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. And let not the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose the things that please me, and hold fast my covenant, I will give in my house and within my walls a monument and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. The one who is united to Christ in his suffering and death will be united to Christ in his joy. In his humiliation, we find that repentance that makes our hearts light before God. Ashamed of his weakness, we share in his glory. Would you be united to him? Would you bind yourself to him? See, it is water. What prevents you from being baptized?